Isaiah 45, verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, I thank you so much for the opportunity, the blessing of being back here once again and preaching your word, sharing your word with your people here. God, I pray that you would take me and fill me and use me, speak through me tonight. God, I pray that you would fill the listeners, Lord, that they would be spirit-filled listeners and not just hearers only, but doers of your word. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now be seated. This passage of Scripture, it's so precious to me because it fits just exactly with what the Lord has placed in my heart, especially as I'm back on furlough and I'm going around to churches, God's people, and presenting the work and presenting the need. And I'll let you know right off the bat, I'm not just looking for support. I'm also looking for prayer, but I'm not just looking for financial and prayer support. I'm looking to touch some people's hearts. Because I got to tell you, the laborers are few. Very, very few. I don't know any other missionaries going to the jungle in Peru. I don't know any other missionaries. And when I was first on deputation, I asked all the pastors that I had meetings with, I asked them all, do you know of anybody else that is going to the jungle in Peru? And not one was able to tell me. One was able to put me in touch with a missionary who had retired, an independent fundamental Baptist missionary that had retired from being there, and he was starting a church in Wyoming. And that man was a tremendous blessing to me. The bow and arrows that are on my display back there came from him. They were a gift from him, and that was a blessing. But nobody's going to the jungle. And there are 16 that we know of, 16 uncontacted tribes in the Peruvian jungle alone. That's not counting the Brazilian jungle, which is far more vast than the Peruvian jungle. And all the others, Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, all in there. 16 uncontacted tribes. The Mashcopiro are just one of them. But we do have the vision that if God would just allow us to reach these, the Mashcopiro, man, what they could do if they got saved and they sold out for the Lord. Because they can get places that Josh and I can't get. And we've got some experience out in the jungle now, and we have some woodcraft, and we may know our way around the woods more than most North Americans would. But these guys, man, these guys know the jungle. They are the jungle. And they could get to other tribes. They could get to places where we're not going to be able to make it. I mean, I'm only in my 30s, and I already feel my body starting to give out while I'm out there. And 30's young. I know that. Being in my 30s, it's young. But it's not young in athletics, in high-impact sports, and things like that. You get into those sports, and somebody in their 30s is kind of becoming an old man. You get into the special forces in the military, and somebody that's in their 30s is an old man. And we're out there in the jungle, and some of the stuff we're doing is kind of like high-impact sports. we're starting to feel it out there. And more than once, Josh and I have just kind of been exhausted at the end of a day and laid down our packs and looked and said, I get too old for this. You might think that's funny, looking at a young man standing behind a pulpit saying that, but you gotta be out there. What we need is like some 19, 20-year-old men with the knowledge that we have, that we've earned out there. That's what we need. And so we need some young people, some young tough guys who think they're tough, to try it out. Get out there in the jungle and tough it out. Because if you think you're tough, if God's built you tough, and maybe He has, maybe He built you tough for a reason. Maybe His purpose in that was He needs to send you to the jungle, or He needs to send you to a mission field where it takes some guts to be there. Consider that. You young folk that are in here, teenagers. And this says here, assemble yourselves and come. That's a call to assemble. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Ye that are escaped of the nations could apply to us tonight in that we have escaped from the fate that the nations have. The nations are on their way to hell, folks. The nations are lost. This world is lost. And we, if you're saved tonight, we have escaped. We're on our way to heaven. And we've escaped from where the nations are heading. And he's got a call. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Well, here we are. So we're doing good so far, right? We've assembled. We've drawn near. We're together. But now that he's got us together, he's got a message for us. It's a heavy one. What's it say? It says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. They have no knowledge. Okay, you've assembled. You've escaped from the nations. You're saved, and here you are together, assembled in the house of the Lord. And he's got a message for you. He wants you to know something if you didn't know it already. He wants to remind you, if you've forgotten, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of the graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. The truth is, it's a God that would not save, even if it could, those that are trusting in and praying to and trying to appease demonic spirits. They have no knowledge. Now keep your finger here. We're coming back to Isaiah 45, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because as I was looking at that and meditating it, it struck me there's something familiar about that phrase, they have no knowledge. And I found it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Did you hear that? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Wake up, is what he's saying. Wake up and quit sinning. Why? Because some have not the knowledge of God. Well, what's that got to do with me? I speak this to your shame. It does have to do with us. Some have not the knowledge of God. And you know what? That's not just out in the jungle. That's here. There are plenty here that have no knowledge of God, that set up the wood of their graven image. Okay, well, maybe the people here aren't setting up their wood of the wood of their graven image. Maybe it's fiberglass. Maybe it's their boat that's the idol. Maybe it's metal. Maybe it's their car. Maybe it's their job. But they have an idol, and they're trusting in things that cannot save. There are people here, and there are people in the whole world that have no knowledge. They're putting their trust in things that cannot save. But this says here that that should be personal to us. Because it says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's shameful that there are still those out there that don't know the gospel. They have no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. And he says in 1 Corinthians that we should wake up and quit sinning because some don't know yet. And he speaks that to our shame. And how is that to our shame? Because all the way back in Isaiah 45, and really further back than that, but let's go back to Isaiah 45. All the way back there, he gave us an order. And this is why it's to our shame that still today there are those that do not have the knowledge. It says in verse 21 of Isaiah 45, tell ye and bring them near. Okay, he's called us together. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Then he's given us a message. He's told us a problem. He shared a problem with us. The problem is They have no knowledge. There are people yet who have no knowledge of God. They're setting up the wood of the graven image. They're praying to a God that cannot save. It means they're lost. They're on their way to hell. That's the problem. So what's the answer? What's the solution? The solution is verse 21. Tell ye. You. Tell them. Bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Tell ye. There's a message that we're supposed to be giving out to those that have no knowledge. And what is the message? The gospel is contained in here. If you didn't catch it, really it says, who I told it from that time, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? He says, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. A just God. We need to tell them that there is a just God. Just refers to His holiness. It refers to the fact that He is the just judge of all the earth. There's a judgment coming. And that's part of the message that we need to get out. There is a judgment coming. It is appointed a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed all man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. There's going to be a judgment day. And man, you read about that in Revelation, where it talks about the great white throne and how all the dead, small and great, they stand before the throne and they're going to be judged before God. Some of them were warned and paid no heed. Others weren't even warned. But they're going to be judged. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. See, we often say, I think a little bit mistakenly, we say hell is forever. Not exactly. You die, if you die without Christ, you go to hell. And you will be in hell until judgment. But one day, death and hell are going to give up the dead that are in them. He's going to raise up the dead people in hell, and they're going to stand before Him at the judgment seat. They're going to be judged, and then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's forever. They will be in the lake of fire forever, and they need to be warned. A just God and a Savior. He's just, He's holy, and we are unjust. We are sinners. And we need to tell them that. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Tell ye. Tell them what? Tell them that there is a just God, that He is the just judge of all the earth, and that He will judge the unrighteous. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. A just God, but praise the Lord, He doesn't stop there. A just God and a Savior. And a Savior. He's our Savior. He's the just judge, and we can't leave that out. It's not just God is love. He likes you and wants to take you to heaven. It's more than that. They need to know. They need to fear. They need to know they're sinners and that there is a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. They need to know that. But then they need to be told, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for sinners. He shed His blood for you on the cross. He died on that cross in your place. Then He was buried, and on the third day, He rose up again. And He's alive with power to save. And there is a just God and a Savior. And there is none beside Him. And He's up there looking down at us, and He's saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth. The whole world. Not just here and not just there. Everywhere. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. We've been commanded to tell. And now there's another portion of Scripture, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. says again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, take that to heart. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Man. That's heavy. Tell ye, bring them near, let them take counsel together, is what we're reading in Isaiah 45. You know what that means? That means you tell them, and then let them decide what to do with it. Now it's off of you and it's on them. Tell ye and let them take counsel together. We're the watchmen. We're supposed to sound the warning. We're supposed to tell them there is a just God. Judgment is coming, but He's a just God and a Savior. He died for them. He was buried and He rose again for them. And He loves them and He wants to save them. And He says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the world. We look at them and we tell them that. And our success is not counted by whether they accept it or not. I want to encourage you with that because I think a lot of people are afraid to share the gospel because they're afraid of failing. But if you've shared the gospel, then you didn't fail. Because the command is not, go get people saved. That's not the command. The command is, tell ye. You tell them, and now it's off of you, and it's on them. If the watchmen sound the warning, and some fool doesn't heed the warning, and he dies, it's not the watchman's fault. He sounded the warning. But if the watchman sees the danger coming and he doesn't blow the trumpet and he doesn't let them know, they're going to die. And it's the watchman's fault. Wow. So God called me to go into the jungle. And what if I said, I don't want to? What if I said, somebody else will go? I'm not so sure about that. What if I didn't go? And what if nobody reached the Machu Picchu? What if nobody planted a church in San Cristobal? What if nobody was out there in the jungle? Those people would die in their sins. They would go to hell. They would go to hell for their own sins. They wouldn't go to hell for me not having gone. They would go to hell because they deserved hell. Don't get confused on that. But at the judgment, he says, their blood will I require at your hands. And think with me for a moment about the great white throne judgment. Think about that day. It's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a real bad day. You know, we say there's no tears in heaven. That's not exactly what it said. Actually, the tears aren't wiped away until about four verses after the great white throne judgment. And there's going to be some tears to wipe away. Because we will have just witnessed the judgment of the lost. And we will see our neighbors. Neighbors that we told, neighbors that we didn't tell. We will see our coworkers. We'll maybe see some fellow members of the church. We're going to see them cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you, people, there will be tears to wipe away. And as bad as it's going to be to see somebody that you warned and you tried to get them to accept the gospel and they hardened their hearts and they wouldn't do it, okay, that's going to be hard to see them cast in a lake of fire. But just imagine how much worse it's going to be if it was somebody that over and over the Lord pricked your heart and said, tell them. And you went, what if they don't listen? Maybe they wouldn't have listened. But now you've got the guilt. The blood's on your hands as they're cast, kicking and screaming into the lake of fire. But this is real, okay? This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a movie. This isn't a storybook. This is real. It's reality. We are really one day going to be at the great white throne judgment. If you are lost in here today and you do not accept Christ, you really will die and go to hell. You really will burn there for who knows how long until you really get out one day and you really stand before God Almighty, the just God and the Savior that had said, look unto me and be saved, and you said no. You will really stand before Him one day, and then you will really have to see those books opened up that has every wicked, evil, nasty thing you ever did, said, or thought written in them. And then the Book of Life opened, and your name not there. And then you will really be cast into the lake of fire. And the rest of us that don't have to worry about that, praise the Lord, we do need to be worried about the fact that we're going to have to witness that. And that if we didn't do our parts, then it's on us. So what if God calls you to the mission field? He already did. If you're saved, He already did. You're supposed to be preaching the gospel, telling the gospel in your daily life, here, where you are, unless He's told you to go somewhere else. And then you're supposed to be telling the gospel there. And if He tells you to go somewhere else, then you're supposed to be telling the gospel there. But you're already supposed to be telling the gospel. I wasn't called to be a missionary until I was already married. But I got saved when I was 5 years old. And I mean I got saved when I was 5 years old. I never had to get re-saved. I knew I was a little sinner. I knew if I died that night, I'd go straight to hell. I knew it. I understood. Maybe not all five-year-olds do or can. I understand that. But I got saved that night. And that night, God put into my heart the desire to tell my friends. And I started telling my other little five-year-old friends. And I saw other five-year-olds get saved when I was 5 years old. I wasn't a missionary. I was just saved. Are you saved? Did God save you? Then tell your friends. Tell your neighbors, because you will see them again one day at that great white throne. And if God does call you to go somewhere else, and don't even consider not going. Wouldn't be worth it. And you might say, brother, hasn't it been hard? Haven't you had some hardships? Oh, let me tell you. Yeah. Yeah, we've had some hardships. We've been roughed up emotionally, physically. And we've gone through it. Like I said, I've got a lot less hair now. But you know what? It's worth it. I mean, we can sit in here and sing, it will be worth it all. Do you really believe that? Will it really be worth it all? I can tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it all. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you something as we close here. Pray to be a tool used of God, a tool in God's hand, something that He can take up and use, a tool or a weapon or something like that. I prayed that as a young person, and I didn't know what I was praying. Okay, I'm not going to try to deceive you. If you walk into a mechanic's garage and you see a beautiful set of tools that's shiny and has no nicks, no dings, no nothing on it, and they're just laid out all nice and pretty, those aren't the mechanic's favorite tools. They're not the ones he uses. You're going to find another set that are, they're cleaned, but they've got some grime just kind of worked into them. And they've got some dings and some nicks in them. Those are the ones the mechanic has been using. And a good example of that is my dad's a former Marine. And he's got a little shelf in the house that's got some of his memorabilia. Some of it from his days in the Marine Corps, and then some of it he's bought just kind of represents some things. And he has a K-bar. A K-bar is the Marine Corps fighting knife. It's almost 12 inches long. It's got a leather handle, and it's painted black, and it's a beautiful weapon. And he's got that sitting there. It has never been used, and it never will be used. It's there to be looked at. It's not there to be used. It's there to remind him of those days. I have a K-bar too. My dad bought it for me 16 or 17 years ago. Now that K-bar is to be used, and I've taken it on these expeditions out into the jungle. It killed a crocodile this last year. Killed a crocodile. I didn't attack the crocodile. My guide attacked the crocodile with a machete. The crocodile didn't die. It came at me. I jumped out with my K-bar, and I stabbed it, and then I grabbed it by the tail, and I yanked it up onto the beach, and I repeatedly plunged the K-bar into it to put it out of its misery. Those things don't know how to die. I'm telling you. I don't know how many times I stabbed that thing. But that K-bar has been used a lot. Going all the way back to when I was 15 and my dad took me fishing and we caught a catfish and we used it to pin it up on a tree and then we skinned the catfish. That K-bar has been used. It's chipped. It's got some dings in it. The leather handle has been molded and kind of eaten away a little bit. It's kind of warped. It's not a pretty knife. But I tell you what, it fulfilled its destiny when it killed that crocodile. That K-bar was used for what it was made for. The Marines made that knife for killing. That's what it was designed for. It actually got to fulfill its destiny. Now, the one on my dad's shelf, it's pretty, it's nice, but it'll never get to do anything. Do you understand where I'm going with that? I think some Christians, they want to be all polished up Christians. They want to look like they can be used. They don't ever actually want God to get them dirty. Or maybe they think, I want to be a tool in God's hands. I want to be used of God. But then when things start getting rough and they start getting hurt, and I mean hurt, they go, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, you did. When you ask God to use you. They go, well, now you're going to scare people off from going to the mission field. No, it's some people surrender. They get to the field, they get banged up, and they give up, and they go running home because nobody told them ahead of time. I don't want to paint a rosy picture for you. I want to let you know sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's rough, but it's worth it. It's worth it because this life, it's already almost over. Even if you're just a little kid, this life is already almost over. It's a short little life that we're given here. It's just a vapor, and then it's gone. We're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And we can look back on this short little life that we had and we can think, man, I blew that. Or we can think that God actually did a couple things with me. And you know what? That's some of the greatest joy I have. It's God's done a few things with me. And I look forward to the other things that He's going to do with me. And He wants to do something with all of us. He's got a purpose for every single one of us. If you'd submit to Him, if you'd be willing to be used by Him, it'd be worth it. And there's going to be a reward. There is. It's not really the point, but He put it in the Bible. There is going to be a reward handed out. Some people on that day are going to be standing there with nothing. They're saved, yet so is by fire. It's by the skin of their teeth. They're saved, but they got nothing to show. And there's going to be other people who are going to have some rewards. They're going to be able to cast something back at Jesus' feet. Man, I don't want to be standing there on that judgment day and have nothing. And I surely don't want to be standing there on that great white throne judgment day and watching person after person, maybe an entire tribe of people, cast into the lake of fire that I could have done something about it and I didn't. I don't want that. So we've been given a challenge from God's Word. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of the graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Awaken to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Hey, there is a just God and a Savior. There is no one beside Him. And He says, look unto Me and be saved, all the ends of the world, all the ends of the earth. So what are you going to do about it? If you're not saved tonight, you're just going to continue on your way to the lake of fire? If you are saved tonight, are you just going to keep letting everyone else around you go without even a warning? Don't worry about how they're going to take it. Don't worry about whether you're going to fail or not. If you'll just tell them, then you haven't failed. You've been obedient. And that's all He requires of us. Take heart in that. Let's pray. Father God, again, I thank You for this time that You've given us here together. I thank You for Your Word, these beautiful, powerful passages of Scripture. Lord God, I pray that You would take these and burn it into our hearts. And I do ask, Father, that You would take us and use us and show us how it's worth it. Lord, work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.